Welcome back, or welcome to the program. We're into our third hour. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. The show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. One quick hit, snap in H-Town tweets. My man Miguel has me on the side of Interstate 10 in Houston, cutting onions with that Jose Lima story. Hashtag Lima time, baby. Jose Lima was something else, boy. R.I.P. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Former NBAer Richard Jefferson coming up next segment. We're taking a stroll down memory lane. If you've got any thoughts about the program that you've heard over the past three decades, go right ahead and do so. Right now, though, we start this third hour by having a conversation with a linebacker for the L.A. Rams. He had an enormous game in that win over Washington. 11 tackles, 3 sacks in the win over Washington. 16 tackles, 3 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and 2 tackles for a loss on the season. He was a 3-time all-conference player at Delaware. He was undrafted in 2019. The Rams are 4-1 on the year. They're in second in the NFC North, and they take on San Francisco on Sunday. Another big game. Troy Reeder is my guest. Troy, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. I'm doing well.
Good, good. Good to have you, Troy. So you got that first start of the season on Sunday, and as I mentioned, you showed up in a huge way. You've talked about how you prepare every single week like you're going to have a big role. So when the opportunity finally does come, you're ready. Knowing all of that, what kind of thoughts were you having when you took the field on Sunday?
It was exciting. I'm from the East Coast, about 2 hours from D.C., so kind of felt like I was back around home. No fans in the stands, but felt the presence of home, and just to go out and be a big contributor for a really good team win was really exciting.
Troy Reeder, my guest. Now, Troy, you had 3 sacks in that game, but afterwards we were really quick to point out that it was the defensive line and the pass rushers in front of you who really deserve much of the credit. Lay that out for me. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, football is the ultimate team game, and when you have guys on our D-line, like Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Michael Brockers, guys that have been rushing the passer and having a lot of success doing it for years. They obviously draw a lot of attention, and even so, Aaron had a huge game. But when I'm called upon to be part of that rush plan, I also need to play up to their standard, and was able to capitalize on some plays that I came free.
Rams linebacker Troy Reeder, my guest. I mean, Troy, the fact is there have been a lot of amazing players, a lot of great players in that league who have never had a 3-sack game. I'm curious, when you're in the middle of a game like that, does it feel different? I mean, does the game feel slower than normal, or like you're seeing things happen as they develop, or does it feel like a regular game at regular speed except for 3 sacks?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you start getting in the flow of the game, it just starts to slow down more and more as the game goes on. You start to get a good feel of what the offense is doing and even what your D coordinator's kind of feeling out himself and where the game is going from that perspective. But it was pretty funny. I didn't realize I had 3 until I was in the locker room after the game.
Really?
One of the sacks was right at the line of scrimmage, and I didn't know they counted it as a sack. It was actually the first one. So until I was in the locker room, I thought I had 2, which obviously I was ecstatic about. But then when I heard I had 3, I thought that was pretty funny. We didn't even realize it on the field.
That is pretty funny. You had yourself a day. Troy Reeder joining us. One of the things that came out of it also, the lingo green dogging or green dog blitzing. For those who do not know, what does that mean? And then how effective can that be in a game?
Yeah, a green dog blitz is essentially when you're covering the running back or a tight end or any player, and that player blocks or doesn't release into a pass pattern, you can add on to the blitz, and you become an extra blitzer when your guy blocks.
We're talking to Troy Reeder, now you know. So, Troy, you mentioned Aaron Donald. Everybody knows about Aaron Donald, but as a linebacker, how good is the entire defensive line in front of you?
They're great. Obviously, Aaron gets a ton of attention, and rightfully so, but Michael Brockers has been doing it for 9 years. I have a ton of respect for him, and we thought he was moving on, and we ended up getting him back this year, which was great from a leadership and player standpoint. Got some good edge guys, and, you know, we're deep at that position, which lets our guys stay fresh. And, you know, they're a really fun group to play with, practice with, and, you know, they have a really good relationship with each other, and it's fun to watch games like last week where everybody's kind of hitting on all cylinders and having a lot of success as they have all season.
Rams linebacker Troy Reader is joining us. And Troy, you made the point too, quote, it's hard not to take Aaron for granted. Some of the stuff he does, people come to expect from him. I mean, it's so true, right? The guy plays at an extraordinary level, an elite level every single week. It's like he does things you've never seen before every single week. I mean, even as a peer and a fellow pro, when you watch this guy, does he do things that even blow your mind?
Blow our minds. you know, it is crazy, whether it's a walkthrough or practice, games. Obviously, the whole nation gets to see the games, but, you know, what he does every single day, it is pretty darn impressive. And, you know, I'm thankful I get to witness it, and I think it makes all our teammates better just seeing how hard he works in practice and the things he does in practice. And by no surprise, it shows up in the game, and that's why he's been a human highlight reel for the last several seasons. And when you have a guy like that who does work so hard and has success on the field, and then you're bringing in young players and see that, and that it doesn't just happen on Sundays. I mean, that's the kind of guy you build your franchise around.
Troy Reader is joining us. You know, Troy, I've talked to a lot of players on this show, so I think people listening understand that there are guys that slip through the cracks. There are guys who are undrafted. There are guys who make it in the league who are not drafted, but there are a lot that don't. So coming in as an undrafted player, what was your mental and physical approach to proving yourself and earning a spot on that team, and what was your process?
You know, I know there's things in life you can control and things that you can't. I just thought that I was a good enough player to play in this league and believed it. I have a really good support base in my family, and when I got here, received great coaching that has helped me develop. So, you know, I think just being able to control what you can control, and a lot of times that's just doing all the little things right, the effort, the hustle. And then as you learn the defense and start to find a role, and the pieces fall into place. But, you know, I tell every rookie, whether they're a first or second round pick or undrafted, you know, you got to come in ready to compete. I mean, it's a 90-man roster to start camp, and they got to get it down to 53.
We were talking to Troy Reader. They got to get it down to 53. And I know you've talked in the past about a moment from one of the last days of OTAs last year when they were running that two-minute drill, and you were thrown in there against the first-team offense, and you were relaying all the calls to the rest of the defense. What was that moment like for you, and was that the time when you realized, man, I know I can do this. I do belong here.
Sorry, can you repeat that? I lost you for a second.
Yeah, I was saying that one of the last days of OTAs last year when you were running, or they were running the two-minute drill, and you were thrown in against the first-team offense, and you had to relay all the calls to the rest of the defense. I'm curious what that moment was like, and was there a sense of, hey, listen, I know that I can do this on this level?
Yeah, I think that was huge for me before having about a month off before camp, and you know, just having the confidence to send me out there with a lot of really good guys and really having to run the show. And obviously there was a lot to improve on, but, you know, just the fact that I felt like I faced one of the toughest situations in football, being in command of a two-minute drill against one of the most high-powered offenses in the league, heading into that summer in camp, you know, just gave me that extra confidence that, you know, I can play in this league, and I'm going to come back in August and make this team.
So one last thought, Troy, you mentioned that the win against Washington was key because you're an East Coast guy. You did grow up in Delaware. I'm curious, what's it been like to make the transition from the East Coast to the West Coast, and how do you like life out here?
You know, I love the weather. It's,
right?
It's hard to beat Southern California, I'll tell you that. I love that it gives my family and friends a really cool place to come out and visit. Tons of stuff to do. Obviously, we're in a weird time right now where a lot of that stuff is pretty shut down. But you know, it's been nice. You know, I like it out here. I've really enjoyed myself, and now I spend a little time on the East and West Coast, but definitely love it out here.
Good to hear it. He had 11 tackles, 3 sacks in Sunday's win over Washington. The Rams are 4-1. They're at San Francisco on Sunday. Troy Reeder, my guest. Troy, great to have you on. Appreciate the conversation. Good job, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you, Troy. Thanks. Troy Reeder, good story. 3 sacks. Thought he had 2. Man, that's got to be a pretty good feeling to get back to the locker room and find out. Actually, you got credited with another one. Carl in Prescott tweets, bring back the piece of crap club. Something else I kind of regret. We did have a piece of crap club, and I would put people in when they earned it. Yeah, that was not very good. I'm trying to remember who was in the piece of crap club. The one person I know was Eric Gagne. And Gagne was such a good dude. And Gagne may have had some roid issues. But Gagne, like, I put him in based on his performance. That's even worse, right? And then he became like this lights out stopper and closer. So then I had him on the show one day, and I took him out of the piece of crap club, and I put myself in the piece of crap club, and I did it with him on the set. And he could not have been cooler about it. Super good natured. Not a proud moment. I mean, a proud moment in that I owned it. But yes, we did have a piece of crap club. I'll bring that back right around the time I bring back the Rat family. Gabriel Ruiz tweets, hey, Jim, the riot tour stop in Oakland was epic. All right. See, that's not true. The riot tour stop was in Universal City. The tour stop in Oakland just sucked. That was the only tour stop that was not a good tour stop. Literally, that was the only tour stop that was not a good tour stop. It just had a bad vibe. Like, I didn't want to go there. I knew it was not going to work. And that was one of those deals where the suit said, oh, no, you got to go. You got to go. You've got a San Francisco radio station. It's a big station. They're demanding that you go. I said, you know, it just doesn't feel right to me. It does not feel like it's going to be a good event. It does not feel like it's going to be one of our really good sweet spots. Okay, we'll take that under advisement. You're going. And then I went and it sucked. And it didn't help that one of the local guys was on the station the day of the event saying, hey, don't go. Don't go. Tickets are sold out. I'm like, what the hell? They're not sold out. They're free. Anybody can come. That's not to be confused with the near riot that was the Universal City Walk tour stop that we had to pull the plug on 5 minutes in. Literally. That was the riot. Oakland was not a riot. Universal City was damn near a riot. Let's see. Fire Hehe tweets, please have Alvin pull tape of Tony Gwynn imitating Ricky Henderson.
Ricky's had a lot of trouble with his cleats. And every pair of shoes that he gets, one of the cleats break off. And he's gotten 6 or 7 pair of shoes, and out of those 6 or 7, I mean 5 of them, a cleat has broken off. And so Ricky was in the... Let me finish this, all right? Ricky was in the clubhouse the other day in Colorado, and he had just made an out, and he rushed into the clubhouse to change his cleats. And I was sitting in my locker, and my locker was next to Ricky's, and Ricky came in, and he looked at me and says, Tony, man, Ricky cleats keep breaking every time I go out. Ricky can't do nothing out there without a cleat breaking. And
that was a tour stop. That was an actual tour stop. The tour stops, when they first started, were actual shows on air. So that was a show from Jack Murphy. And that was Tony Gwynn, the late great Tony Gwynn, talking about Ricky. And I've told you this story before, I'll never forget. Janet went to high school with Tony at Long Beach Poly. They were good friends. And Janet is not a name dropper. Janet does not boast. Janet's the most humble. I literally married the best person I've ever met. Janet Rome is the best person I've ever met. I mean, she would say, you know, Tony and I were friends. I'm like, yeah, Yeah, me and Ted Williams were friends too. She's like, yeah, funny. That's funny, Jimmy. Now, Tony and I are friends. I'm like, all right, great. Awesome. Congrats. So Tony, in the prime of his career, and Janet and I work for the same radio station in San Diego. She rolls down as an executive. Remember, Janet, I actually worked for Janet. Janet made a lot more money than I did when we started. Janet had a corporate, you know the whole Janet story. She was corporate. She comes down to the event, and Tony's like, Janet! I'm like, dude, you do know each other. And they're getting caught up, and they're talking. They're having a good old time. And she's like, yeah, I mean, what? Tony and Janet were good friends. They went to Long Beach Poly together. When we come back, so that was part of that story. Like, Tony was like, yeah, can we do this? Can we, I got a game I got to get ready for. I'm like, I get it, man, I get it. It was a big ask. Definitely a big ask to have you on the day of a game. But then Janet came by and things got much better. Jano, when we come back, Richard Jefferson, ESPN NBA analyst, joins us. That is next. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you. Having a lot of fun today. Getting a lot done. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by an NBA champion. 17 years in the NBA. Nearly 15,000 career points. An Olympic bronze medalist. Host of the Sports Gap. Co-host of the Road Trippin' Podcast. Co-host of the Detox Podcast. Today he appears courtesy of Shamrock Farms Rockin' Protein. I'm talking about Richard Jefferson. Richard, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great. I have a lot of jobs now that you mentioned. Jeez, I got...
Good for you, dude. You do have a lot of jobs. Are you still there, Richard? I lost you for a minute.
Yes, I'm still
okay,
here.
Okay, good. Yeah, man. So you do have a lot of jobs. Yeah. That speaks very, very well of you. What's it like having all those jobs and all those platforms?
Honestly, you know what? So the Detox Podcast was, I had some good friends, Geeter and Alex Curry and Matt Leinart, and they invited me on their podcast, and then I never left. This was during the summer. And then I went back to my team, the Cavs, after we won, and I decided to start my own podcast. So that's how the road tripping thing got started. And then I was bored, so I started the Sports Gap. So it's just one of those things. You know this, Jim, and I've always been, watched you and grew up watching you. Like, it's all about how hard you work and you finding opportunities and continuing to grind. I saw you would fly out to do a segment on CBS football. And it was just like, dude, you work hard. That's what you're going to do. The people that survive in this industry are the ones that are constantly working and trying to improve and putting in the time and the effort.
My man, I appreciate that, Richard. Thank you very much for saying so. And you do understand that. You've always understood that. And I'm glad you mentioned Geeter. Geeter is one of my favorite guys ever. You and Chris McGee were on the Detox Podcast telling a story about you doing a TV hit when LeBron walked by. What happened in that moment and what did LeBron call you?
Am I allowed to say that? I don't know what the written. Okay.
No, we got to clean up exactly what he called you. But give me a sense of what he called you.
He called me a bald MF-er, and it was funny because when you're in the bubble and you're in this space, like you have like a camera and a boom mic that you're not holding for the people at home, and you have to wear a mask. So all of a sudden, he walks kind of behind that mic and says it while I'm on live television. So I don't know that the boom mic picks it up until after I hear it. But I don't know everyone else at home heard it. And that's when I get off. I'm getting texts from all sorts of people. It's like, yo, LeBron just said, and I was like, man, do you see how people treat me? Do you see how like, these are people that I consider friends, and they are just making my job very, very hard. Now, if I would have said something crazy and be like, you know, and I would have responded, then I would have lost my job. Do you see how these people treat us?
No, I understand this, Richard. I think that also you already understand this, but I think it's something that bears repeating. When you just said to me, am I allowed to say that? Because you do so many different things for so many different platforms, always remember the room, right? Like, if you do enough broadcasting the way you do, you might forget where you are. Am I on ESPN? Am I doing a podcast? Is it terrestrial radio? You have to be so careful because if you misstep once and you forget what the room is, that could be the end.
Oh, very, very quickly. And, you know, I'll give a shout out to my guy, Ian Eagle, who does so much football stuff. And when I first started calling games with him, he taught me so, so much. Because when you do a podcast, it's like there can't be dead air, very similar to radio. You can't be dead air. But when you're calling a basketball game, it's all about, you know, allowing for the crowd noise and the sneakers squeaking and the ball bouncing and allowing for that to enter in the room. And I will say this, like the one thing that I've learned is, and people don't understand this about media that you do, every single platform has a different cadence and style of talking. Doesn't matter if it's radio, if it's calling a game, if it's an analyst on different shows, whether it's First Take or whatever, everything has a different cadence and a different setup and a different style. And the people that learn to master that, it is really, truly beautiful to watch if you know what you're looking for.
It's extremely well said. Richard Jefferson is joining us. He's appearing courtesy of Shamrock Farms Rockin' Protein, which we'll get to in a minute. I mean, obviously, Richard, your basketball IQ was off the charts. You played the game at a really high level for a really long time. So I'm curious, how special is LeBron's basketball IQ, and then how does that show up on the court?
Well, it's so funny. You know, I was telling this on a Detox podcast. I said, it's like, look, I can speak at basketball and communicate basketball at a very high basketball IQ level. But guys like Rondo and Bron, they play and understand the game at a very, very high basketball level that I honestly was not at. And very few people, I think, in their careers ever reached that. You know, in my career, I think playing with like Jason Kidd, Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, there are just certain people that just, they're what, Luka Doncic is the one that I've seen recently that like, oh, he's not playing the same game as everybody else. And, you know, for a guy like Bron, I think, you know, even he said it. He said the guy at 35 would destroy the 25-year-old Bron just because he's continued to improve his basketball IQ and study games and study the history and study player tendency, coaching tendencies. You know, those are things that, you know, I think are part of the reason why he's been, you know, at the top for so long, because it's not just about physical. It's about how you handle the mental aspects of the game, because the game's always changing.
We're talking to Richard Jefferson. Richard, I'm curious, like the Clippers, meanwhile, I mean, I can go on and on about the Lakers and all the great things that they accomplished in the postseason and in the bubble. And then you have the Clippers, like take Kawhi Leonard, a 2-time finals MVP. And there was a lot of talk about whether or not he was, in fact, the best player in the league. Does the collapse against the Nuggets make you see him in a different light at all?
I wouldn't say a different light. I think when people have a great run like Kawhi did have, I think a lot of times we can elevate somebody to a place that rightfully so they should be on, but is that their place full time? When people are like, oh, Kawhi could be the first one to win finals MVP for, you know, 3 years in a row. It's like, well, Kawhi wasn't even an all-star the first time he won finals MVP, right? So you have to understand that, like, there's levels to consistent greatness. And, you know, what he did in Toronto was amazing, but I think there's still a lot of work for him and his teammates to do. And I don't think that they should be destroyed for how they played in that fourth quarter and on the 3-1. But I think in their first year, you're going to have some hiccups and you got to learn how to pick that up, because we do love to see how teams respond and players respond to down moments.
So what do you think about Ty Lue? You played for Ty Lue. How do you think that fit works? Do you like the fit? And how do you think those players, that group, will respond to Ty Lue?
I think Ty Lue is a great, great fit. And I think I'm glad that he got the deal that he deserved. This is a man that, you know, went to multiple finals, you know, coached, in the NBA championship and won one. He didn't deserve a 3-year deal. And look, if Ty Lue would have taken the job, I believe that they would have won a championship also, because I think T. Lou and Frank Vogel, I think these guys both would have been great for the job of coaching the Lakers. And think about how hard that was for T. Lou to turn down the Laker job and to pair up with Bron, who he had a great relationship, and Anthony Davis. And, you know, but there was just things about the job that he wasn't going to concede. And, you know, one of the things I heard a long time ago is set your price and live your life. Right. And he set his price and the Lakers weren't willing to meet that price. And so he lived his life. And now he has an opportunity to coach a great team in Los Angeles that with players that he has a great relationship with.
I think that's a great, great line. Set your price and live your life. Which, let me ask you really quickly before I talk to you about Rockin' Protein. You had a great NBA career. You've had a fascinating NBA career. And I could go on and on and ask you anecdotally about that. But you're also a member of that great Arizona Wildcat family. Tommy Tolbert's one of my best friends ever. There are so many interesting players and figures and characters that came out of that program. What's it like to be a part of that Wildcat family?
You know what? It's just great. And, you know, with the passing of Lute Olson and with you know, you see how many players, like we did a Zoom call, which obviously just doesn't do someone that has that type of greatness. It doesn't do them any type of respect. But just to get on that Zoom call and see players that he coached from the 80s, and I mean the 70s and the 90s and the 2000s, and just watch so many emotional guys, you know, it was such a huge family that this man cultivated and created everywhere he went. He was like your grandfather, but he was a brilliant basketball mind. And, you know, even to this day, you look at his impact. You have Andre Iguodala, you have Steve Kerr, you have so many guys on television that are still, Luke Walton, who is the head coach for the Sacramento Kings. You're just, his fingerprints are still on this game in a very, very heavy way, and he literally retired like 15 years ago.
And not only that, but never, ever forget that what he inherited and what he started with and what that program was when he first got there and what he built it into. Now, Richard, one of the things I'm always, always fascinated with is athletes and the way they approach their post-career physically in terms of nutrition and the way they get after it. I mean, some guys go as hard as ever. It's a lifestyle. Others say, you know what? I kind of earned this. I don't want that life. I don't want to do that anymore. You're working with Shamrock Farms Rockin' Protein. How did that relationship come to be? And what do you like about their protein?
Well, you know what I love about their protein is, one, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and I used to see their signs all the time. I used to drive by, you know, their sign on my way to practice every single day. So to be a local kid and to see, have a company that you always drank growing up. And for me, it's like, I want to keep working out. I have a 3-year-old and I have a 5-year-old, and, you know, I love running around. I live in Hermosa Beach. I'm constantly working out. It's just part of like my lifestyle. It's some of the things that keeps me sane. And so to have a partnership with something that you've already drank, I've always been a fan of, and I really, really enjoy the product. Even now, I just got done working out, and you know, anybody that works out knows you got to get your protein in, you know, 30 minutes before, after your workout's in. So to be able to grab something that quick, that's delicious, that's easy, and it's something that, you know, you grew up, there's a nostalgia there for me. So, you know, I'm so excited about the partnership. And, you know, I try and promote healthy living, especially because athletes go through so much when they retire. They always say athletes die twice. And, you know, it's once when you retire and then once in real, you know, in life. But, you know, there can be that moment there. And I think continuing to work out, continuing to get up and push your body and push your brain, I think it does wonders for you.
I love that. He is appearing courtesy of Shamrock Farms Rockin' Protein. Richard Jefferson, NBA champion. And as I mentioned, there are various platforms. Host of the Sports Gap, co-host of the Road Trip and Podcast, co-host of the Detox Podcast. Richard, thank you so much. Great to get caught up with you. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
Great job, Richard Jefferson. He's made that transition to a post-playing career beautifully. And he did appear courtesy of Shamrock Farms Rockin' Protein. All right, we'll come back with one last segment. So one last chance to take a trip down memory lane. If you're thinking about the program and you're thinking about something that you may have seen, something you may have experienced, go ahead and do it. Jeff tweets, I was a freshman at Ohio State in 98-99. When you went on an epic rant about a 14-year-old Prince Fielder and what he probably ate for every meal. It generally consisted of butter and mayonnaise. My boys and I would replay that over and over and over and cry laughing. That probably happened. Jesse G. I know that Piggy Cabrera was in the piece of crap club because I'm the one that nominated him. Higgy Cabrera. All right, anybody else? As I mentioned, it's pretty amazing what some of you hold on to, what some of you remember. We've got time for that. I've got time for Alvin's Week That Was always. I want to remind you to check out the latest edition of the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 147, Buzz Williams, one of my favorites. I mentioned Janet. Janet goes on hikes now, and she always takes the pod with her. She listened to Elk this morning. That was her choice. I said, how'd that go for you? She goes, it was incredible. Check out the podcast. It's free. It's premium. It's long form. ATP on a Friday, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It is not too late to submit a question to me. Submit it to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. ATP coming up momentarily. I want to make sure that I get Alvin's Ionic week that was in first. Alvin, roll it.
And here we go.
Wow, folks.
What you're seeing and hearing is not a mistake.
I'm back.
They cannot
back. Back for more.
I'm back.
Back for all that is good.
The king is back.
Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Monday to you. Laker fan, how y'all living? After stumbling through the desert 10 long years searching for another championship, now you've got one. How does that feel?
Yeah! The Lakers are putting a number on the
and
Heat.
Don't be putting an asterisk on this either. Not only was that not an easy ring to win, it may have been the hardest ring to win.
All my damn respect to
they're the champs. Better give them their damn respect.
Oh!
Email.
Can't be the GOAT if you have people cut your steak for you. We've never confirmed that.
Not that me!
Frank Vogel. How about a little respect?
Coach Vogel wanted his respect.
Yeah, I mean, it really isn't what drives me, but there is a little bit of an element of fuel when anybody doubts you as a competitor. Everybody finds ways to put a chip on their shoulder to carry an edge in this competitive environment. I would say it's no different with me.
Chris Mannix.
Like, I don't want to hear it from Laker fans that this was inevitable.
Inevitable.
Please. Wait. Where were these Laker fans back in February when Darren Collison was being courted like the girl you couldn't get in high school?
There you are.
And he's hurt. Dak Prescott's hurt. I didn't like the
like
way
saying something
fell.
Sucks is not a take, but I'm going to be saying the word sucks a lot right now because that injury sucks. Like, I don't care if you're a Cowboys fan or not. The injury sucks.
This is your worst nightmare.
Touchdown! Jackpot, baby! Jackpot! Vegas Legion!
Derek Carr was out playing Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes?
Speed still kills.
We beat you, Tyree.
And they're back to being vertical.
He's too fast.
Darius Butler.
Browns team, I mean, they're 4-1. Like, nobody. I don't think anyone saw them being 4-1.
I did.
You called it?
Dude, I've been calling them America's team now for a couple of years. I love these guys.
It's looking good all around. They're right up in that mix for that division.
Can you win the game in the first quarter? No!
It's really not true. Like, you can win a game in the first quarter, right? You can win the game in the second quarter, right? You can win the game in the third quarter, too.
Compounding that, you're expecting Chappie to get 7 out. I absolutely refuse to
Woody,
get my captain.
Shark! Get out of the water, Woody! Woody!
Going at a railroad crossing. Don't be tempted.
Lives have been saved, Rick.
Hits the upright. No good.
Oh, my goodness.
Inglewood.
Burbank.
Woodland Hills.
Alhambra.
React to me.
John Carney would have split the freaking upright.
I don't have much time left. This ticker can't take much more of this. Man, I'm pissed.
Talk about Mapletron.
You're talking to Brian Kelly.
You know, nobody knew who Chase Claypool was, and we thought that he was going to make an impact. He's well prepared for the success that he's going to get in the NFL.
You see Chris Berman last night? He said, thank God for Clayton Kershaw's back. Eli Drinkwitz is my guest.
Are you going to prepare for that opportunity, or are you going to BCD?
BCD. What does that mean?
Blame, complain, and defend. Blame poor performance. You complain about breaks just didn't go your way, or you defend. Hey, we just don't do that.
I cannot help you unless you give me your cell phone number.
So I'll take that under consideration, Alicia.
Okay. I'm waiting.
Good, Alicia. I'll let you know when I'm ready.
Which is never.
Come in against Derrick Henry. You better go low.
They got bullied by a bigger bully. You better hope that was just one bad night, Bills Mafia. Because that was one gigantic step backwards.
Holy crap.
Jeffrey Chadiha.
That's stiff arm. I haven't seen something like that since I was watching Patrick Swayze back in Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Manhandling people back in those days.
Take out the trash.
And Thomas, man, how long are you going to make me wait before you find me and wish me a happy birthday? I wish you a happy birthday every year, old man, on this day.
This is the Garrett Ritten Show on CBS.
Damn right it is, gang. What is going on, clones? And Tom Hanks went belly up as well. So bring it on. Freaking ridiculous, right? Talk to me.
Hi, Garrett.
Oh, Andy, how are you?
I can listen to you all day. You're doing a great job.
I see. Ambi. So my hard tickets are looking pretty puny right about now. Uh-oh. I'll have my people talk to your people.
John in C-Town. Brother, is that you?
What is up, fam? Smack. Happy
my
birthday,
man.
Buddy. To me, the jungle's more than just a radio show. It's a way of life. What is up, these Smack? What is up, these Smack?
The law of the farm has never changed. You still have to plow. Your roots determine your fruit.
Steve, great to have you on. Thanks so much. Good luck. Good to talk to you.
That's right.
Her mouth is agape, exposing her beaver-like chompers, while her beady black eyes are riveted on the ball. Richard Jefferson.
It's all about how hard you work and continuing to grind. I saw you fly out to do a CBS football. The people that survive in this industry are the ones that are constantly working and putting in the time and the effort.
Give me my time, baby.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
It's the takeover.
Grow a pair and then tell her I'm not watching a girly show.
So-and-so messed up.
Back.
Girth Brooks performing on Pornhub.
Deuces, Jimmy.
Let's go, man. Let's finish strong.
With my rocket, Rome.
Alvin, turn me on.
Uh-oh.
That's Rit. Uh-oh. Finding the dog sound.
At least you didn't kill Teddy Bridgewater like you did Tom Hanks.
Good night now.
My deck is in there. Good job, Alvin. Funny, funny stuff. The ATP, Jim O's. Who misses Jake the most? You, Janet, Logan, or the cats? Ty. Of course, all the same. Jano is all about her kids. Logan and Jake, actually, for brothers, I thought that when we had those kids brothers. And they're in about 3.5 years apart that they'd beat the crap out of each other like brothers. None of that. Good brothers. Jake is a really good older brother. Logan loves Jake, looks up to Jake.
Logan Low.
And I definitely miss Jake. So, Ty, cats are the cats. They're kind of, you know, Cody the ragdoll cat is kind of aloof and arrogant. And Sapphire's become like a degenerate old man. He, like, tries to get with humans. Like, we fixed the cat, and the cat's trying to get with humans. Like, Sapphire, come on, man. But not the kids. I look at Sapphire sometimes. Our rescue cat. Exactly, Alvin, thank you. I'm like, yo, Sapphire, why don't you go roll up on that cat over there instead of Jano and me? I mean, come on. Sapphire's disgusting. And why does he have no interest in the kids, only the adult? Anyway, let's go to the phones. Hey, Brent, stop asking me questions like that. 1-800-636-8686. We've been going old school with it, throwing it back, having a little stroll down memory lane. Nostalgia. Let's go to San Diego. I want to say that's where it all started. That's not where it actually all started. It all started in Santa Barbara, but San Diego were some of my finest formative years. Let's go to Sean in San Diego. Sean, good to have you. What's up?
Romy.
What's up, Romy, man?
How are you?
Good, dude. How about you?
1991, I was heading to Mex with my gal. It was a Saturday. You were doing a show. I want to say it was the Daily Planet.
Ooh,
TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I told her, hey, if there's a line out the door, we don't have to go in there. We pull up. I park right in front. We walk in there. You're over there talking, and there's 12 people in there, Romy. And I'm telling you, 8 of them didn't know who you were. I felt bad. I asked the bartender, hey, what's he drinking? He drinks Sam Adams. I sent him a beer. She brings you over a beer. You stop right then. You say, I'm going to take a short time out. You came over, sat at the bar next to me and my gal, and we just rapped for like 10 minutes. And it was awesome.
My brother, I remember that, Sean. And sometimes, like, people, thank you very much, Sean. I do remember that. Sometimes somebody will say, hey, Rome, remember that time we met? And it was like some chance encounter in 1994. And I'm like, yeah, dude, of course I remember that. How could I forget that? Yeah, right? I'm like, right. And I have no idea what the hell they're talking about. That guy right there, I do remember that. The Daily Planet in PB. I also remember going in there once and having a beer, and the bottle was busted. And you don't forget that. You don't forget when you drink shards of broken glass. They try to make that right. Hey, listen, dude, if there were 12 people there and 8 of them did not know who I was, that's about 10 more people than I expected to see there that day. The Daily Planet in PB, Pacific Beach. Awesome. When I landed in San Diego and I first got my job, I lived in Pacific Beach. And I lived in an Oakwood corporate apartment. And I lived in an apartment that had a Murphy bed. Dude, it cost. That was expensive, man. And it was small. But it was right next door to a famous bar called Rocky's. A famous radio joint, radio hangout joint. And I could walk across the street, man, get a really good burger and a good cocktail. It's good stuff. And there was a liquor store right across the street, too. Man, that was the life now, PB. Loved it. Let's go this time to some reaction Let's see. At 700, LeCram tweets, my favorite on-air moment, conducting an interview during an earthquake. Been a couple of those. At Psycho Kitty Dave tweets, your show opened the Monday after the Malice in the Palace in 2004 to me is still the funniest thing ever. Carl is back. Today's show needed that fourth hour like you had back in the day. We did have four. We had five. I had a five-hour show and a scrub Saturday show. CK tweets, fantastic show this Friday. Again, it was totally organic. This came off of John in C-Town calling yesterday and me doing a take on a report in Sacramento about the rattiest cities in America. Luke tweets, I will never forget driving around downtown Denver, making sales calls, and experiencing the garden.
Nice, night.
Probs nice, around radio. 2005. I was like, WTF? That was nice radio.
Nice radio.
When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, that they are focused on you. On you. They are ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next.